Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. I want to thank you guys once again for the privilege to be able to preach. Proverbs chapter 22, we're gonna read in verse 28. Tonight I want to try and encourage you guys. The thing about it is this message is something that I believe most of America needs, but I believe that we are one of the few churches in Bucyrus and in the local area that are actually doing this. And so tonight I just want to encourage you guys and try and challenge you guys to continue on. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. It's just going to be one verse, and Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just use me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just control my thoughts, control my words. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just make sure that your message gets preached tonight. I pray that you just use me to challenge the people, to encourage the people. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for a church like this one that we can go to and one that believes your word and stands on your word. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to continue to stand on your word and not compromise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. To be honest with you, it seems like nowadays churches are changing every day. And you see churches changing all around, and you know what? The thing about it is that churches today are not what they used to be. And you know, some churches that used to have a choir like we have, and we have an awesome choir director. And if you're not in choir, let me throw you a little pitch for Lillian here. If you're not in choir and you know how to sing, and hey, we're praising God, and it's one more opportunity. And so I'm sure we can find a spot for you, right? And so the thing about it is that you know what? Some churches that used to have a choir now have a praise and worship band. You know, Pastor and I were talking about the amplifier, and one person recommended that we get a bigger amp and just in case we get a praise and worship team later on. And Pastor's comment was that, and you know, I agree wholeheartedly with it. If our church decides to get a praise and worship band in the future, they deserve to have to replace the amp again. But anyways. The thing about it is that some churches have changed the choir for a praise and worship band. Some that used to have standards now have what they like to label as acceptance and no personal responsibility to live holy. This is all in the name of being relevant to the culture. And they bring Christian rock into the churches, and the thing about it is that they change what they believe to try and reach people. You know, the thing about it is we live in a culture that is rapidly changing, but the thing about it is we serve a God that does not. I'm really glad for that. And you know, the last election campaign was change, or actually, let's see, it was the first election, for a certain person in office that I won't name. But the thing about it is that you know what? Some things should never change, and there's some things in our lives that should be non-negotiable. You know, the thing about it is I remember growing up, my dad had certain things. My dad's a retired Navy chief. And so let me tell you, if he tells you that certain things aren't changing, your best answer is just yes, sir. But anyways, the thing about it is that some things should never change. And the thing about it is, our standards should never change. And listen, the thing about it is I was teaching the teenagers the other day, our standards should come out of this word right here. So the thing about it is that, you know what, if we're not supposed to change the Bible and we're supposed to get our standards from the Bible, then the truth of the matter is you know what, hey, our standards should never change because God's Word never changes. And the thing about it is God never changes. You know, I believe that now more than ever, our generation needs revival. We need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to the standards of God's Word. We need to get back to the point where we stand. And you know what, I'll be honest with you. You know what? This whole idea of remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. You know, our country for many years was the example of morality. And you look at the dollar bill, in God we trust. We've gotten away from that. And to the point where we're even trying to take that off of our currency. I believe that'd be a sad day. You know what? We used to listen to this. This is a sad statistic. We used to be number one in sending out missionaries, but now we're number 16th in the world. That's the last statistic I heard. And in fact, I'll never forget one time, growing up, we used to always go to church, even on vacation. And I thank God for parents that had a conviction based on the Word of God that, hey, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, you're in church. And so the thing about it is we went to a church in Montana. I'm trying to remember if it was Haver or Chinook. There was a missionary from Canada to the United States, and he'd been there for quite a while. And so Canada is actually sending missionaries into the United States. And I tell you what, rightfully so. We're dying spiritually in America. I was looking at the Christian Law Association. These are some staggering statistics, and then I'm going to get back to the message. But listen, we are now over the 50 million mark of babies being murdered by abortion. Truth of the matter is, you know what? According to the Bible, it's murder, period. 49% of parents surveyed said that they would not care if their child, ages 9 through 18, tried marijuana. Over 50% of Americans believe that babies outside the bounds of marriage is morally acceptable. That's not what God says. Over 60% of Americans believe that fornication between unmarried adults is morally acceptable. Once again, that's not what God says. 66% of Americans believe that divorce is morally acceptable. And 25% of Americans believe that abortion is okay in any situation. 41% of women have lived with partners outside of marriage. One-third of all abortions and 40% of all first births were to unmarried women. 20% or one out of five children, 12 to age 14, are actively fornicating. One in seven of those girls become pregnant. One in five adults grew up with an alcoholic. By the way, alcohol is one of the leading killers in America today. Over 25 million Americans drove under the influence of alcohol last year. 8 million were under the influence of illicit drugs. 47% of high school students have used alcohol in the last 30 days. I'll never forget a call I had one time. I was out of state where a alcoholic party was given for underage children by the parents. And this one particular call that I had went on, this one boy got in a fight with his girlfriend, hopped in a car, took off, and because he was drunk, disobeyed all signs, all whatnot. And what happened was he T-boned a car with parents in the car. Thing about it is the parents because she was pregnant and she was with child. Thing about it is instantly killed the child, almost killed the mother, and you know what? Devastated their lives, you know, for a long time. Alcohol is a bad thing. Around 3 million teenagers are at risk for suicide several years ago, and the number is staggering. And climbing at a staggering rate. Every three babies born, one is murdered by abortion. Now listen, the average American will view 14,000 sexual references on TV every year. I wonder if maybe we should kind of learn to just shut it off. And teenagers, 2,795 teenage girls become to expect babies a day in America. 211 arrested a day for drug use in America. 437 teenagers are arrested a day for drunk driving. 1,500 teenagers drop out of school. 3,288 teenagers run away from home. Now listen, the last statistic. In 1995, the worst problem in school when they surveyed teachers was talking out of turn, chewing gum, making noise, running in the hallways, dress code violations, and pulling hair. Oh, that was the problem today. Today, this was actually back in 1990, they surveyed. Now, it's a lot worse now. The number one problems are drug abuse, alcohol abuse, suicide, rape, robbery, assault, and now murder. I tell you what, one of the biggest problems that they deal with in school right now is whether or not they can secure a school enough to prevent somebody from coming in with guns and knives and slaughtering a bunch of people. I tell you what, we've come a long way. And the reason we've come a long way is because, you know what? We've moved our ancient landmarks. The ancient landmarks of "In God We Trust." You know, the last statistic is Out of all that, 75% of Americans that were surveyed at this time claimed to be born-again Christians. But yet those statistics were answered the same way. I think we've lost our way. I think we as Christians have lost our way. Thing about it is back in ancient days, the ancient landmark was a very important commodity in the time of the writing of the Bible. The landmark was used for identity and for security. They had landmarks around their property to make sure that it was secure. To keep that landmark, they kept it in four corners of their property, and it was to designate the fact that this property belongs to me and it does not belong to you. And the thing about it is that you know what? A Hebrew man would go out and set stones around the property that he was giving to his son, and that was designated. You know what? It wasn't supposed to change. It wasn't supposed to move. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 14. We're going to look at a few verses tonight regarding the ancient landmarks. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 14. The Bible talks more about these landmarks. And I believe that everything in the Bible, God placed there for a reason and for us to learn. And so the thing about it is that Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 14, it says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old times have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit the land, that the Lord thy God shall possess it." So the truth of the matter is it wasn't supposed to be moved. Later on, we're going to see that there's actually a curse to moving it. And the thing about it is bad men would take and try and steal land by moving the landmarks. And so the thing about it is back then it was a big deal to have a landmark moved, because that meant that they were stealing land from one person. And so the thing about it is that, listen guys, when it comes down to America, you know what? God has given us a landmark, a set of standards that we're supposed to live by. And you know what the sad part about it is that, you know what? God has set in the Word of God the way we're supposed to live. God has set in the Word of God the way we're supposed to have our standards. God has set in the Word of God how we're supposed to live. The Bible says, "Be holy, for I am holy." All throughout the Scripture, God gives us landmarks. And the thing about it is you know what? Just like back in Bible days, bad men would take and try and move the landmarks. You know what? Satan is in a battle. He's in a battle to move the landmarks in America. He's trying to creep in. And the thing about it is we as Christians need to say, "Hey, listen, these landmarks are right here." You know what? These landmarks, they're not to be moved. These landmarks are to designate, "Hey, this area is God's. It's not yours." We need to tell the smutty face of the devil, "Hey, listen, these landmarks are not changing. Hit the road, Jack." And the thing about it is that, listen, guys, there was a consequence. There was a consequence to moving the landmarks. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 17. The Bible says this: "Cursed be him that moveth the neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say amen." The truth of the matter is, little by little, our foundations have been stolen, and we are groping in darkness because we need to get the land back if we're ever going to see revival. The truth of the matter is, you know what? Hey, listen, too many times in churches we say, you know what? Well, hey, let's compromise on this standard. Let's compromise on that. Just an effort to try and reach the people. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? God calls us to be a peculiar people. God calls us to be set apart. And the thing about it is we're never going to reach the lost by not following this book. Truth of the matter is, God talks about how he gives us power. And the thing about it is, you know what? If we remove God out of the equation and we start doing, the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways and our ways are not God's ways. The truth of the matter is, when we deviate from the Word of God, you know what? God does not give us the power anymore. When we remove God out of the equation, you know what? We're not going to accomplish the will of God. It's just that simple. You need God. You need God's way to accomplish his will. We need to get back to following the Word of God. You know, and like I said, this message is not necessarily for this church. It's just an encouragement to us. You know, I'll be honest with you. Our church is one of the few churches in this area that preach this way. You know what? As children of God, there are certain things that we need to hold on to as children of God. We cannot let these go. Too many churches in America have decided to be more user-friendly and less offensive. But we need to be more God-friendly and more offensive to the devil. The truth of the matter is that the Bible talks about how the gates of hell will not prevail. You know what gates do? They defend. And the thing about it is we as Christians, we should be charging. We should be trying to get as many people saved as we possibly can, realizing that it's not us, it's Him. The thing about it is, you know what? We need to go. God commands us to go and reach the lost, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Thing about it is, you know what? We need to be on the offense rather than the defense. We need to be charging forward rather than retreating. We need to be winning souls rather than cowering. We need to be serving God rather than circle the wagons. Hey, too many times churches today, they feel defeated. They feel discouraged. And you know what? Hey, the same God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that convicts the heart and you know what? Miraculously saves the soul. The same God that sent down fire from heaven during Elijah's time is the same God that works in the lives of Christians. Is the same God that we see when we serve God in His ministry. We see a life to be changed. Thing about it is if we get away from God, we get away from a changed life. When we get away from God, we get away from Holy Spirit conviction. When we get away from God, we get away from growth as a Christian. The truth of the matter is you know what? We need to stay strong on the Word of God. We need to not move those boundaries. We need to make sure that we tell the devil, hey, listen, this book is where the boundaries came from. And this book is where they're going to stay. Hey, listen, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to change versions to a perversion. I'm not going to, you know what? Hey, listen, this book set my standard. And this book is going to keep my standard. And bless God, you know what? Hey, listen, this book is the standard. And listen, smutty face, the devil, you're not changing it. We need to get back. We need to stay strong on hellfire preaching. You know, the thing about it is there's time for teaching. There's time for instruction. There's a time for a handout. And there is time for but listen, more importantly, there's time for the man of God to come up with a Bible in his hand and a burden in his heart and stand before God's people and say, thus saith the Lord. That's what's needed in America. I'll be honest with you. Too many times, pastors all across America, they get in this fad on, well, you know what? I can't talk about sin, and I can't talk about this. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Hey, no, listen. God gave us everything in this book for a reason. It needs to be read. It needs to be memorized. It needs to be preached, and it needs to be applied to our lives. That's just the way it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 21, I got to turn there myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. We need to get back to old-fashioned preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21, the Bible says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So the thing about it is automatically I see there's a difference between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom. God's wisdom, you know what? God's wisdom is what we as Christians need to hold on to. The world's wisdom, the Bible says that you know what? For that after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So the world's wisdom, you know what? Is not true wisdom. And it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'll be honest with you, to the lost person, to the person outside this church, to the person that's not saved, doesn't understand that. You know what? Here's the thing is, they think that the preaching of God is foolishness. But the truth of the matter is God's wisdom says, hey, listen, it's what I use. And the thing about it is that, you know what? God had not, let's see. I lost my verse. You know what? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Truth of the matter is we need to get back to preaching. Godly preaching. And the thing about it is 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, the Bible says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in it and His kingdom. Preach the word. This is an admonition. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now listen, here's about the time that we're in right now. For the time will come, whether or not, and he endures sound doctrine, realizing that the other verse before says, the world's wisdom thinks it's foolishness. Now the thing about it is that For the time will come that will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. Now, listen, I don't know about you, but I've never heard lust be used in a positive term. Okay? Thing about it is their own lust shall they heap to themselves, teachers, having itching ears. And they shall be turned away in their ears from the truth. So the truth of the matter is they won't even hear the truth. They're going to be turned away in this. They will be turned unto fables. You ever wonder where evolution came from? Right here. You ever wonder where, you know what? Well, soul winning just isn't a thing for today. Show me that out of the Bible. When I read my Bible, it says that we're supposed to go. And the truth of the matter is, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of that ministry, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Hey, listen, we need to get back to the preaching of God's Word. You know, the thing about it is I can go back in my life, and the times where I've got fired up, made decisions to do great, to do God's will, and to be used by God. You know what? Most of it was under preaching. Thing about it is we need some real men that are God's men that will get up and preach the Word, not caring what others think so much as what God thinks. The thing about it is you know, too many times pastors get up and thank God our pastor is not this way. He loves our people, but at the same point in time, you know what? Our pastor stands up and he gets a message from God and he realizes that, hey, if it's from God, I'm going to preach it. And the thing about it is we need real men to get up and say, hey, listen, if God told me to preach it and if it's in this book right here, I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, the thing about it is you hear the illustrations about Jonathan Edwards and sinners in the hands of an angry God. I tell you what, that's not politically correct in these days. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? From what I hear about Jonathan Edwards, he would take his notes and talk in kind of a monotone voice. But you know what? The power of God was dripping all over him so much that when he'd preach sinners in the hands of an angry God, people would clench on to the post to hold the building up in fear that God would swallow them up alive because they knew that they had sinned and violated a holy God. And the truth of the matter is they so wanted to be right with God. They so needed to be saved. And the power of God, you know what? God met with them. Why? Because the preaching of the Word of God, a man stood up and wasn't afraid of what was politically correct. He wasn't afraid of what other people would think. He preached what God had told him to preach. We need to get back to that. The truth of the matter is when's the last time you've ever heard Dr. Whitejaw or Pastor Itchy Bottom preach on hell on the radio or the TV? Truth of the matter is you're not going to hear it. Why? Because the truth of the matter is you know what? They're preaching. Most of the time, I'd say they're preaching out of the wrong perversion. The truth of the matter is they're trying to get you to give money. They're trying, you know what? Here's the thing is the Bible talks about bringing all the tithes into the store. God says that we're supposed to bring our tithes to local church, not to some yahoo on television or on the radio. Now, I'm not saying that there's not people out there that you can't listen to. Listen, I listen to preaching tapes all the time, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? I'm going to find somebody to listen to that believes this book right here and then wants to live by this book and doesn't want to change the landmarks that God has set up. Too many times the radio preachers and the televangelists and all these things, they want to change this book right here. What happened? Satan has duped them into saying, hey, listen, hey, let's move this landmark over just a little bit. Hey, let's move it over in this area. Hey, let's move it over in this area. The truth of the matter is we need some preachers to stand up and say, hey, listen, this landmark is not going to move. This landmark God has set up. And this landmark is what God is going to use to do great things. And if we move it, we lose land that is rightfully God's and not the devil's. We need to get back to holy living. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I'll never forget one time I heard a pastor, his name is eluding me right now, I can see his face, but he got up and preached a message on this right here. And you know what he said? Brother Coral. And anyways, he said, you know what? Bless God. The Bible doesn't say, be ye not so bad, for I am not so bad. The Bible doesn't say, and he goes on and he's talking about, you know what? Be ye complacent, for I am complacent. You know, the truth of the matter is God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. I tell you what, when we read the Word of God and we see how holy God is, you know what? You know, here's the thing is, when I compare myself to other people, you know, I can find somebody to make myself look good. And somebody to think, you know what? I don't need to change. And somebody to think, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. But the truth of the matter is when we have the standard as God being holy and we're supposed to be holy like God, I tell you what, we're not going to be complacent. We're not going to think, you know what? I'm good. I'm doing God a favor with what I'm doing. No, the thing about it is we're going to strive to be holy, and we need to get back to holy living, back to studying the Word of God, back to searching the Scriptures saying, God, show me a way that I can get closer to you. Show me a way that I can be a better Christian. Show me a way that I can be more used by you, a vessel fit for your use. Dear Heavenly Father, I desperately want to be used by you. We need to get back to that holy living and stop being identified with the world. Charles Spurgeon stated, a holy church has God in the midst of her. We need to get back as American churches to having God in the midst of her. We're not going to do it by compromising. We're not going to do it by changing our standards. We're not going to do it by changing our Bibles. We're not going to do it by backing down. We're going to do it by praying and reading our Bible and saying, God, I want to be showed what you want me to do. I want to do your will. I want to see souls saved like you want to. I want to have a burden for souls like you have a burden for souls. You know what? I want to do your will. The thing about it is we need to get back to holy living. We need to get back to hallelujah shouting, getting excited about being saved. You know, the thing about it is that, you know what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, that whosoever is me. Hey, you know what? I'm so glad that when I was a young child, bless God, I attended a week of vacation. It wasn't vacation Bible school. It was neighborhood Bible time. And you know what? I heard the story about salvation. That's why I'm so glad that our church does VBS. The thing about it is that I heard the story about salvation time and time and time again. And you know what? At the end of neighborhood Bible time, I prayed and accepted Christ. Hey, listen, from that point on, you know what? My feet never had to touch hell. I never had to experience the horribleness of hell. Hey, blessed God, you know what? When you think about all that God has given, how can you not be excited? How can you not be excited to walk on streets of gold one day? How can you not be excited to have a mansion being prepared for you in heaven? And to be able to see our Savior face to face. I tell you what, that is exciting. We need to get back to being excited about being saved. We need to get back to being excited because the truth of the matter is when we get excited about being saved, hey, we're going to tell other people about being saved. Remember when you got saved and when we got saved? I tell you what, the thing that we were so excited about being saved. You know what we had to do? Hey, let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you what happened. Hey, I got saved. The thing about it is, you know what? When we get excited about being saved, we're going to want to tell everybody the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to get back to being excited about our salvation. Hallelujah shouting. We need to get excited back to reaching the lost. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. Amen. We need to get back to reaching the lost. Going with the great commission that God has given us to spread the gospel. And you know what? But it doesn't just stop there. The Bible talks about teaching them to observe. I'll be honest with you. Most of the time, most of the kids that we bring in, they're not being taught outside of this building. The truth of the matter is they're not being taught. You know, I'm so glad. I'll be honest with you. The thing about it is I'm so excited about the possibility of getting a bus. Why? Because it goes back to the original pastor that, from what I was told, originally had 4 buses. And you know what? You know what his vision was? Right here, reaching the lost. And he did great things for God. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? I'm excited for the fact that, you know what? We haven't moved our landmarks in the area of reaching the lost. Hey, the thing about it is that, listen, guys, I've been praying that one day we'll get a bus. Why? Because you know what? We need to reach the lost. We need to not give the devil any land back. We need to say, hey, listen, this land is God's. And you know what? Smutty face the devil, you're not getting it. It's just not going to happen. You know, the thing about it is that we need to take, and too many times, you know, we expect these kids fresh off the bus to say, you know what? All right, sit here. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do that. And the thing about it is here, stand up for a minute, guy, will you? Come around. Too many times we take, and listen, we expect our younger generation to be passed down a list of rules. We say, all right, here's the Bible. Here's the King James Bible. You don't use any of the Bible. You know what? The other Bibles are a perversion. You know what? Here's what you do. You don't do this. You don't do this. You don't do this. All right, you sit up. You don't pay attention. You don't even crack a smile in church, buddy. Wipe that smile off your face. No, it's joking. But the thing about it is you know what? Too many times we want to teach, we want to pass on a list of rules to the younger generation where what we should be passing on is a relationship. Pastor, do you mind standing up? And the thing about it is what we should be doing is this. Here is a Bible. Let me tell you, this Bible doesn't represent a list of rules. This Bible represents a relationship I have with my Father. And the thing about it is I'm not trying to pass down to you a list of rules. I'm trying to pass down a relationship. Yes, I want you to take the Bible, but I also want you to meet my best friend. I want you to meet a relationship, somebody that can give you joy, somebody that can give you peace. Somebody, you know what? The only person that can satisfy, the only person that has the power. You know what? The Bible talks about the king's hand is in the hand, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. You know, hey, listen, any problem you have, he's willing to take it. He's willing to listen to. The Bible says casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Thing about it is listen, we need to introduce our next generation, not to a list of rules, but to a relationship that's associated with this book right here. You can have a seat. Thank you. And the truth of the matter is that this is what we are trying to do here at Calvary Baptist Church. We need to introduce the next generation to a relationship. But the truth of the matter is I'll be honest with you, too many times churches across America have a hard time introducing people to a relationship they don't have themselves. If we're going to introduce somebody to a relationship, we dead sure better make sure that we have one ourselves. We've got to know the God that we're trying to introduce. We've got, you know, the thing about it is I remember one time a pastor had went on vacation and he had asked me to introduce this guy that I didn't even know. I was trying to find the guy's name and everything. I found out right before the service what the guy's name was. And I'm like, now we're going to have Brother So-and-so preach for us. And I'm like, well, I've heard he's a great preacher, and I'm just trying to pull things from the top of my head on what I knew about the guy, but it was very limited. But the thing about it is that the truth of the matter is, you know what? If I knew him, I could introduce him a lot better. Now, the thing about it is this, is we're trying to introduce the next generation to Jesus Christ. How well do we know him? You know, like the song says, and I've talked to him today. Have we? Have we read our Bibles today? Have we came up with excuses on why we shouldn't obey God's word? Have we picked and choose? Have we done something to sever our relationship? The Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Is there something in my life that severs me from God and my relationship? Because the truth of the matter is that will sever me from being able to introduce somebody else properly to the Savior. When you get back to heartfelt praying, this kind of goes along with it. And the truth of the matter is, I'm hurrying, old-fashioned aisle walking. Now, besides health problems, the thing about it is that I believe that a lot of us need to go to the altar, myself included, more than we actually do. Two reasons why we should be at the altar. One is God spoke to my heart, and I'm sealing the deal with God to submit my life to his will. Number two is God has not spoken to my heart and I've not been to the altar in a while. My heart must be cold to the voice of God. I need to get that right. The truth of the matter is I tell the teenagers all the time, listen, if we need to ask ourselves this, when's the last time we went to the altar? Because the truth of the matter is if the Bible is being preached, And we haven't been pricked to make a decision. The truth of the matter is there's something wrong. We need to get that right. We need to get back to, you know what? Here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. I go to the altar, and don't take this the wrong way, but I don't really care who sees. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not between me and you. And you know what? There's going to be those people, well, I wonder why Pastor Wilman is down at the altar. Let's see. I bet you it's, you know what? Forget about them. They're the ones that need to be down at the altar more worse than we do. But the thing about it is, you know what? Hey, I'm not there for anybody else. I could care less who sees me. The most important thing is my relationship to my Heavenly Father. And the thing about it is we need to, you know what? The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Here's the thing is, if we're ashamed here at Calvary Baptist Church to walk an altar, how in the world are we ever going to stand out in the world? And the thing about it is that, listen, guys, we need to get back to aisle walking. We need to get back to saying, you know what? Here's the thing is, get back to praying before the service, before we even get to church, and say, God, please speak to my heart. The thing about it is let me tell you, I can tell you from personal experience, I need the preaching of God's word. I don't know about you all. I need it. And the thing about it is if I ever get to the point where I think I don't need it, hey, I really need it. So the thing about it is that, listen, too many times, and this is kind of a little bit of a joke, too many times at churches all across America, the song, the invitation song is, I shall not be moved, and it's in a negative way. The thing about it is you know what? We should not be moved as far as compromise, but you know what? We should be able to be moved by God. We should allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. The Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives. One of the saddest things is when we do not become dissatisfied with the least bit of wrong. The best housewife hates a speck of dirt. The best mechanic hates a spot of grease in the wrong place. The best husbandman hates one locust. The best preacher hates one sin. The best judge hates one crime. The best athlete hates one defeat. The best doctor hates one germ. The best botanist hates one weed. The best musician hates one wrong note. And the most consistent Christian hates to be one degree off. See, the truth of the matter is a wise Christian will make daily checks of his life to make sure that every area of his life pleases God. And the truth of the matter is how are we ever supposed to do that if we don't read this book right here and pray, God, show me. Here's the thing is, you know what? Paul, not as though I'd already attained. He's like, hey, listen, I haven't achieved. So the thing about it is the Apostle Paul hasn't achieved. Who am I? Yeah, I haven't achieved. Hey, listen, you want to find some faults? You look close enough. Let me tell you, you might even not have to look very closely. You're going to find some. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We need to say, you know what? I have not attained. But you know what? I'm striving to be more Christ-like every day. And you know what? Bless God, I'm not going to let the devil move the landmarks. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this truth from the Word of God. And we thank you so much for a church that just stands on the Word of God. And dear Heavenly Father, I really believe that it's churches like this one that give America hope. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be charging forward. Help us not to be retreating. Help us to not compromise in any areas. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to have you in the midst of our church so that we can charge forward. In Jesus' name, Pastor.